You can begin taking your Bibles this morning and turning again, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And this is week 5 of Operation Heal America. We have 10 more days left in our time of fasting and prayer. And it is amazing the things that God has been doing, as evidenced by the response to the altar calls, to the amount of prayer requests that have been nailed to the crosses, to the stories that we have heard that have been shared with me of people beginning to recognize that there is such a thing called spiritual warfare, that it is real. To hear some of the stories of the miracles that have taken place, of the blessings. This has been a holy time, and it is a much needed time. And I just want to encourage you in this day that you open your heart to the Word of God. I pray you did not come this morning to hear a message, but that you came to hear from God, and that you will respond to the Word of God as God leads in your heart. Now, I'm very fortunate to be the pastor of this church and very thankful because Justin, he came to church on Friday, and as I talked to him a little bit, he informed me that, well, his daddy's just dad, but I'm his favorite pastor, and boy, did that make me feel good. And so I'm thankful that he's cheering me on here this morning already, but if you have your Bibles open, if you would please rise to your feet. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And my hope is that we've read this enough that you're beginning to memorize this. And so let's read it together. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are just so very thankful to be in your presence once again. And Lord, as we come this morning, may our minds be stilled. May our hearts be calmed. Father, today we need to hear from you as never before. And Lord, this nation needs to hear from you as never before. Lord, in this verse, you have given us all that we need. May we respond and may we act on it. And Father, may you do what only you can do in the hearts of each one of us today. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Now, as we've been saying, the key to healing America is found in this verse. The key to healing our homes, our churches, our communities, our counties, our state, and our nation is found in this verse. But a careful study of this verse reveals to us that this verse is a conditional promise to us from God. And it's fair to say, as we look at the landscape of our nation, as we look at the landscape of the American home, as we look at the state of marriages in America, as we look at the amount of brokenness in homes, in communities, in churches, it's fair to say that up till now, we have not been willing to meet the conditions that God has set forth here in His Word. We have become a nation adrift from God, because many Christians have chosen not to humble themselves, with the result being they haven't truly prayed. Now, to be fair, it isn't that Christians are not praying. They are. But unfortunately, they're praying too much like the Pharisee that Jesus mentioned in Luke 18. Jesus said that that Pharisee went up to the temple to pray, and he prayed with himself. And I find that interesting why Jesus would say that the Pharisee prayed with himself, and the reason is given because he lifted his heart up in pride and he said, oh, I thank God like I'm not like this publican here. I thank God that I'm not like other men. I thank God that I fast twice in a week. I thank God that I tithe. I thank God that I. He prayed with himself. You know, unfortunately, that's how a lot of folks are praying today. They're praying in pride. And the reason they're praying in pride is because they are not willing to allow God to deal with the sin in their hearts. Jesus said he prayed with himself. All he was doing was telling God what a good boy he was. And when Jesus says he prayed with himself, Jesus is letting us know that God didn't hear his prayer. And so I'd like to ask you this morning to get you thinking about this. Did you know that there are prayers that you can pray that God will not hear? For example, God will not hear the prayers of a prideful heart. God will not hear the prayers of someone who knows they're doing something they ought not to be doing, but they just don't want to deal with that. They don't want to think on that. They're enjoying it too much. They're regarding it. They kind of love it. And the Bible says this, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. God will not hear the prayers of those who continually do evil, who continually look at their sin as if it's something other than sin, that it's just my bad, it's something that God can look past. It's, you know, God knows how I'm created. He'll accept me just the way I am. This is the modern mindset. God will not hear the prayers of someone who will not listen to God's word. The Bible teaches, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are open, are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so God's face is against those who do evil, but his ears are always attentive to those who are whom he sees as righteous. You see, God is the judge. Not you, not me, not society, not Hollywood, not your friends, not Facebook, not any other thing. When you compare yourself, we always compare ourselves to what the world says. Friend, we ought to be comparing ourselves to what God says, and God calls sin a little white lie. He says that's evil. A little white lie cost the death of his son. The very Son of God's precious blood had to be shed for a little half-truth. I wonder in our world today, do we see the seriousness of sin? Who are these righteous? God says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Who are these righteous? They are those whose hearts and minds are continually seeking the Lord. They seek God's desires, not their own. They ask God to make them more like him rather than give them more material things. They pray to share in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings that they might know him more. They seek after the righteousness of God, not their own self-righteousness. They forget those things which are behind as they continually press on toward the mark of our high calling in Christ. The righteous are those who live for Christ and not for themselves. They are those who lay aside every weight in the sin that does so easily beset us, so they can run with patience the race that God has set before them. The righteous are those who daily present their bodies, just what the Bible tells us, as a living sacrifice, one that is holy, acceptable unto God, because they consider that their reasonable service. Therefore, they don't seek to be conformed to the ways of the world, but conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered or thought about this when you've looked in the mirror? I wonder, can others see Christ in me? Who do I look like? Do I look like the world around me? Or do I look like Jesus? Is the light of my life in Christ shining through, or am I too concerned about something else? The righteous are those who are grieved by sin. They want to get away from sin. The righteous are those who practice holiness. And we all know the commandments. 8 times. I know this, when God says something once, he means it. When he says it more than once, he really means it, and we better get it. 8 times in the Bible. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Do we practice that on a daily basis? Do we practice being holy in our words, in our speech, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our thoughts, in our being? The righteous are those who are concerned for what God's word says, not what others think. The Bible teaches, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. And the condition that God has set before his people is that they humble themselves. And we talked about that last week. You see, God knows something about me. He knows something about you. He knows something about humankind. He knows that you and I have an issue, and we have a problem with pride. And remember what Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you see, that's our problem. We think we know our own heart, but the reality is we don't know who we are. But God does. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, try the heart and the mind, even to give every man according to the fruit of his doings. And God says we must humble ourselves, and we must take this seriously. We must camp here for a moment. We must dwell upon it. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to see myself as you see me. Perhaps it would do us well to pray as David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now we're getting somewhere in prayer. And then God says, and pray. And I have no doubt that you pray. But have we humbled ourselves that we can pray, that God can hear the prayers of our heart? Are we allowing God to deal with those things that we try to keep hidden? Are we allowing God to search us and cleanse us that we can be holy and fully His? Have we really prayed in the manner in which the Bible asks us to pray, in the manner in which God commands us to pray? Have we humbled ourselves that we can get real with God? And then he says, seek God's face. Can God hear our prayers? Can God hear your prayers? Can God hear my prayers? Are we allowing God to deal with our heart when it comes to our pride and our sin? Are we allowing God to lead us away from evil? are we praying prayers that God can hear? These are the conditions we must meet if we want God to heal our land. And so we need to understand that the promise is conditional. And there are three things that we must do if we want God to heal our homes, our church, our community, our county, our state, and our nation. We must humble ourselves, we must pray, and we must seek His face. And God is simply waiting on us so that He can respond. God says, when you do these things, I will heal your land. Can we count on God? Has God ever failed? You know the answer to that. God has never failed. God will do what He says He will do if we will do what He asks us to do. Everything God is ever going to do for us has already been done. Every healing God will ever give you in your physical body has already been provided. Every opportunity God is ever going to provide and open up for you has already been opened. Every stronghold God is ever going to break in you has already been broken. Every victory that you and I are ever going to experience has already been won. The joy that so many are desperately seeking for already exists. The peace you are seeking, wishing you could enjoy, is already present. The power you need to live the Christian life God created us to live is already ours, because the Bible teaches when a person repents of their sin and places their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God deposits in the heavenly realm every spiritual blessing we will ever need. Listen to what the Bible says, Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, the problem for many is that we don't understand the battle. Too many Christians are fighting for a victory when the victory has already been won. When the Lord Jesus Christ cried from the cross, "It is finished." The great battle between God and Satan was over. The enemy of our souls has been utterly defeated. And yet, we are living lives of defeat simply because we are not trusting in the power and the promises of Almighty God. Many Christians don't understand that the battle is spiritual, friends. It is not physical. God's word teaches, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that He may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see, Paul wrote to remind us in Colossians 3 and 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And today, far too many Christians have set their minds on the things of this world, meaning they have an earthly perspective, not a heavenly one. Too many are trying to operate their lives, if you will, from a lower plane instead of the higher plane. Brothers and sisters, unless we learn to operate from heaven's perspective, we will succumb to our challenges down here on earth. God's word makes it absolutely clear that it is absolutely essential we begin to think, act, and live from a spiritual mindset. When God says, and pray, and seek my face, we can only do that in the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. In the physical realm, all we can do is get down in the posture of prayer. But if we're going to talk to God, we've got to talk to it from a pure spiritual perspective, which means we have to have our minds and our affection set on the things above. Remember what Jesus said. Remember what Isaiah prophesied. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Everybody, it seems, down here is running around in what I call the energy of the flesh, trying to solve problems down here that can only be solved up there. You see, the Bible teaches, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you realize that God will not solve the chaos of our present situation unless we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face? You see, if we want to talk to God in heaven, we've got to see Him as He is. He is holy. He is righteous. He is high and lifted up. Is that how you view God when you bow before Him in prayer? Where to approach Him as such? Isaiah, when he saw the living God, he said, woe is me, I am undone. And if we will do these things, God promises to do for us what we all want. We all want God to heal our families. Amen. We all want God to heal our churches. We all want God to heal our communities, to heal our counties, our states, and our nation. We all want that blessed peace and assurance that only Christ can bring. And I know God will do all that He says. I want you to watch this morning, Ephesians 6:17. And he says, and take the helmet of salvation. And I thought about that this week. And God takes a physical example to teach a spiritual truth. God is demonstrating here when he says, and take the helmet of salvation. He's demonstrating that the brain is the control center for our body, our will, and our emotions. And God states the mind can only be protected by the helmet of salvation, because the helmet of salvation is the only thing that God has given us that's able to absorb the shocks of being hit and occasionally knocked down by the enemy. How many of you here have ever felt like, man, you've been hit below the belt? How many of you have ever felt like the rug's been completely pulled out from underneath your feet? You see, we need a helmet of salvation to protect us when we get hit and knocked down in the spiritual realm. In Jesus Christ, God has given us a helmet that the enemy is trying to tear off. And he's trying to take it off to stop us from accomplishing the things that God would have us to do, which number one is living in the victory that's been provided for us in Jesus Christ. Now, y'all know I like football. Y'all know I like sports. And I got to thinking about this. And the more I thought about this, I thought, God is our coach. What greater coach could we have? God, our coach, and wants to speak truth to our minds. God sits up high in the coach's box. He sees everything that's taking place down here on the field we call life. He sees it better than we could ever hope to see it, because he's seated in heavenly places. That's where he's coaching. His coaching box is located. He's in heavenly places. And from that vantage point, God, he examines our opposition's strategy. God sees it much better than we can. Listen, God studied the game film much longer than we have, because God has created us to win. If you talk to Trey, if you talk to Scott or any other coach, they don't coach their players to go out and lose. They coach their players to the best of their ability so that they can succeed in the games that they play. God, our coach, has given us his playbook called the Bible so that we can succeed in this thing called life. And God, he studied it. He knows the truth that he wants us to hear. He knows the secrets that he wants to share with us. But Satan, you see, he's the leader of that opposing team. And he wants to rip God's helmet of salvation off of us. Because then he can begin to fill our mind with falsehoods. Satan wants to whisper to you through his helmet, through his headset. He wants so that what he says to you, you will begin to believe, and it'll become the reality by which you interpret and respond to life. But remember what this: Satan was cast out of heaven. And his lies, and what got him cast out was pride. And his lies are only going to cause us to lose in this game called life. He wants to do the exact opposite of what God wants to accomplish in our home, in our church, in our community, our county, our state, and our nation. And when we look around at our homes today, at churches today, at the community, at the county, the state, and the nation, it begs the question, who do you want to play for? The coach who's already secured everything, or the one whose sole desire is to bring you heartache, shame, pain, guilt, loss, defeat, and death? Who do you want to play for? Brothers and sisters, it's because too many of us have not understood the nature of the battle that we are witnessing such unprecedented chaos and evil that surrounds us today. Now, God has called his people, and God has said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God said, my people, not Washington, not the LGBTQ community, not Planned Parenthood, not the media, not Wall Street, not Hollywood, not Facebook, not President Biden, not Congress, not the Department of Justice, not the FBI, not the Supreme Court, not special interest groups, not the darkness, not Satan. God said, my people. Do you want to know why that is? It's because only you and I, who are God's people, can bring light into the darkness of this world. Only God's people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. And God, if God's people will do that, God says, I will heal their land. Can I ask you this morning? Do you believe God will do what he says if you will do what he's asked? Let's make an application as we close. God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, anybody who's willing to humble themselves and pray and seek his face, this one thing we know, they will turn from their wicked ways, because you won't do the first three and not do the last. And God says, when I see that in my people, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And the reason God hasn't done so up till now is because God has not seen that from his people yet. Now, what would happen if you, just you, as one of God's people, took God at his word and you chose to humble yourself and pray and seek his face? What if we as a church were to do it? To do it collectively, if we were to do collectively what God has said, what would happen? We'll never know unless we will do what God has said. We'll never know if we could have been the spark that God used to start a revival in this American land. We'll never know if we will have been the spark that God could have used to begin to heal homes, to begin to heal marriages, to begin to heal churches, communities, counties, states, and nations. We'll never know unless we respond to God by faith. We'll never know how many souls might be saved. You know, as we gather here today, do you realize there are souls that are hanging in the balance? There may be some people here today, I don't know, God knows. And they have not yet come and confessed their sin to a righteous, holy God. They have not yet repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't mind being in church. They don't mind being around religious people. But they've not yet allowed God to save their soul. How many marriages might be healed and saved? How many homes will be repaired instead of broken up? How many churches will be healed? How about how many communities, our state and our nation and our counties be changed? We'll never know unless we respond to God's word. And it's an individual choice that can become a collective thing. You know the song. We sing it every now and again. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. You may be the spark that God's been waiting on. And we'll never know, because faith is not the evidence of things seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, you've got to have faith that is willing to respond to God. And if your faith isn't willing to respond to God, I'd have to ask you, what kind of faith do you really have? The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, this verse, we've been preaching on it now for 5 weeks. And in this verse, God has given his people an invitation to respond to him. God has given his people a choice. Every Sunday, you and I have been confronted with a choice. Will we respond to God or not? And God doesn't force us. It's not the type of God he is. You see, he just speaks to the heart. And God has said, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, if my people will do that, I will do what I have said. And if my people won't, I won't. And right here, in this verse, God is simply telling you and I, his people, that he has put it in our hands. If we will do what he has asked, he will do what he has said. But it's up to us. And in light of what God has shared with us today, what is the wise thing for us to do? Father, we thank you for your word to us today. And Lord, I do pray for myself, for this congregation, for this body of believers, that you have asked to humble themselves and to pray and to seek your face. Lord, I pray we will do what you have asked us to do, that you can hear our prayers from heaven, that you might and you will heal our land. Lord, if ever there was an operation that needed to be performed in America, it is the operation of healing. Lord, we need healing on so many fronts. Lord, help us to step out in faith. Help us to do the things that you have asked us to do, that we can see a mighty working of God in America again. Lord, there may be someone here this morning who has not yet repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They can feel your Spirit speaking to their hearts this morning. Lord, I pray today, give them the courage to step out and to step up. Do not let Satan hold them back any longer. Lord, help them to walk in faith. Take that first step, and you'll help them the rest of the way, that they might come to the greatest decision they could ever make, the decision to receive Jesus Christ and know for certain that heaven is their home. Lord, may you have your will and your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Brother Marty, if you'll come and